So that's encouraging. Good morning, everybody. My name is Manus. Here, New Year, welcome. You're a guest of honor if you're a visitor. We love visitors. That's why we're here. We are here to welcome you and to celebrate you. And afterwards, we're going to have some nice cake and coffee. So please stick around till afterwards. We would like to get to know you, get to know what you're doing. And love to just be your friend. Yeah, this morning, I've got something in my heart that God has been stirring this week. I'm just going to keep it simple. It's going to be a short message. But I feel it's important for us just from where we are coming from this last month. God has been speaking to us about Durban and about the prodigal son out there. And also this week as we've been fasting. And seeking God's face. If any of you regained the weight you lost in the fast, I haven't checked yet, but I lost a bit of weight, but it's good. I did a park run on Saturday, and I felt like I was flying, so that few extra kilograms that I lost was really helpful. Yeah, I came third. Bronner's reminded me. No, it's just a park run, but it's cool. Sometimes good to lose weight. It makes you faster, faster in life. But that's what often happens when we fast. We break down a bit of our flesh so we can become more effective for God. And that's why we seek God's face. It's not to get things from God. It's actually to become more like Him. And that's what I'm going to speak a bit about this morning. I'm going to speak a bit about becoming fruitful. And last week we spoke a bit about the things in the church. And we all of us becoming a minister. And God has called us all to be ministers. Not just one of us doing the ministry from the front. And it's so cool this morning to see even the hospitality team. Rika made some nice banners. And the guys, the kids were standing at the top there and welcoming people. And that is really what it's about. It's really about all of us becoming ministers of the gospel. And really coming to be trained, to become fruitful out there. So my topic this morning is a call to be fruitful. My son Christopher is not fruitful yet. He still needs a lot of inputs, but one day he'll get there. But we enjoy him in this stage of his life. He's a lot of joy. And I think that's how sometimes our God sees us as well. He wants us to be fruitful, and he calls us to be very fruitful. But he also enjoys us where we're at. And often we forget that, and that's where the devil gets to us. He gets to us and throws a lot of condemnation. He once tells us we're not getting things right. And then often we go into works. We try and be the thing that the devil says we need to be. Instead of saying, God, I want to be more like you. I want to have a relationship with you. And out of that should come a lot of fruitfulness. And I want to quickly just give us a breakdown. When God made man in the beginning, in Genesis 1, it speaks of he made mankind, and then he made men and women. And they got together, and he says, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and fill it, and in a sense, rule over the earth. But he had always had this intention that we as stewards of this earth, we must subdue it and in a sense, multiply, be fruitful. In the beginning, it spoke of just being fruitful in terms of the qualitative work we did here on earth, and the garden and the land. And then primarily, just having offspring, having a lot of children to fill the earth. And that was the initial call to Adam and Eve. Then, obviously, sin went wrong, and all those things went wrong. And the new covenant, Jesus came, he died for us, and he walked the road with his disciples. But then, at the end of his walk with the disciples, he also commanded his disciples to be fruitful. And that's what I want us to look at today. I want us to look at, what does it mean to be fruitful for us? How does it impact on our lives? And it really is just a call back to the basics. I'm not going to preach something intellectual or complex this morning. I'm just going to take us back to the basics, because often I find ourselves, we try and make it a lot of things instead of just being the things that God wants us to do. Going back to the basics, focusing on the things that God has called us to do, and then adding on top of that. In John 15 verse 8, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, but as my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be a disciple. Philippians 1 verse 10 to 11 says, "For I want you to understand that what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God." So, in John, often Jesus kind of touched the Apostle John. He kind of brought out a personal side of Jesus a lot more. He was like the closest disciple to Jesus, and often he spoke just of the intimate things of God. And here Jesus speaks about his relationship with the Father, and the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. And in the end here at Philippians 1 verse 10, he says, we must always be filled with the fruit of our salvation. It's that something in our salvation, something about the work that Christ has started in us, is meant to bring much glory to the Father. And that's what I want us to look at today. What does it mean to bear fruit for God? And it's probably a whole sermon series to look at it in depth. But I just want to look at it in a simple way. This is what Scripture says in basic. What does it mean to bear fruit? And often, when we look at our lives, our walk with God is informed by the cultural norm around us. There's a cultural emphasis on success and a way of doing things right and wrong that often finds its way into Christianity. And then we start to define our walk with Christ according to those worldly means. And often I find myself doing that as well. It's not just something I see around me. I see it in myself. I look at a situation in my life and I immediately apply worldly standards to it. Instead of saying, "God, what are your standards? How do you see fruitfulness? What do you see as abiding fruit? What is the thing that's eternally going to be something that you are going to celebrate in my life?" And that's something that it's always a tension, something that we always have to manage. And it's something that we have to actually be very disciplined about, coming back to what is God's measure of success. And God actually doesn't use the word success, he says fruitful. And when I think of the word fruitful, a good analogy is obviously a fruit tree. And the Bible speaks of it in John 5. I'm going to get to that later. It speaks about a fruit tree bearing fruit, being pruned, being watered, us abiding in the tree. But in a sense, if we want to think of success in Christian life, we need to think of ourselves as fruit trees. We need to think of ourselves as a tree that needs to grow to a place of maturity, producing fruit that others can feed on. And I'm going to look, that's just a kind of an introduction. Look a bit further on, but when John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, when he came to earth, he baptized people with the baptism of repentance. So that's before Jesus came. He said to the people, bear the fruit worthy of repentance. When he got angry with the Pharisees, he said to them, brood of vipers, bear the fruit worthy of repentance. And what does repentance mean? It means, Lord, it's not about doing. It's about seeing who you are and saying, Lord, I can't, and I need to conform to that pattern that you have got for me. So part of bearing fruit is sometimes just saying, Lord, I'm not that tree that you want me to be. I'm supposed to be growing apples, I'm growing bananas or pears. How can I grow those apples? And being repentant and saying, God, these pears that I'm growing is not from you. You are not the root of it. I'm going to get to that later as well. That's what I want to get to today, is how do we become that fruit tree? What does that fruit tree look like? And what is the basic fruit of that fruit tree? And I've defined just two things that we need to look at, two main kind of components of being fruitful. And the first one is in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And like I said now in the beginning, culture defines success in certain ways, where God defines success in being fruitful. And in the same way, culture also defines our calling. Often we somehow get a worldly kind of, as I say, definition for calling. So often we ask somebody, what are you called to? And somebody will say to you, I'm called to be a doctor. I'm called to be a psychologist. And it's not like that's wrong, but that's not our primary calling. And let's quickly look at what Jesus called his disciples to do. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 26. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And that's such a defining moment in the disciples' lives, because that is the last commandment he gave to his disciples before he goes. He says, go and make disciples. Go and make others that are, I've discipled you now for 3 years. You go and do exactly the same as I've done. And yes, it can find its outworking in a career. Can find its outworking in being a teacher, being a doctor, and being all those things. But God primarily calls us to go and make disciples. And that also breaks kind of the norm of just coming to receive. God has called us to produce. So we need to move from a place of saying, God, I'm not just here to receive. I'm here to receive and reproduce that which you've given me. Okay. So in a sense, God is saying for us to be fruitful, we need to make disciples. Okay, so that's the first one. And that's quite a scary proposition. I don't know who of you have heard that proposition and it's been quite scary. For who of you has that been quite scary? Go and make disciples. It's been quite scary for me. I don't know about you. Okay? So often the things God calls us into is impossible or difficult or not easy. So God is kind of challenging us here. He says, I want to disciples, go make disciples. That's my commandment. And often when God commands us to do things, it's difficult things, it's hard things, things that we don't necessarily want to hear. It's easier to just do the Christian things than go and expose ourselves out there, because making disciples means being vulnerable, means putting myself out there, putting myself in the flow of potentially getting hurt, potentially getting ridiculed, rejected, persecuted, etc., etc. But the amazing thing is when we look at Jesus, when he called his disciples, the first thing he said to them is, I will make you fishers of men, like Jerusha said this morning with the kiddies. He said, I will make you fishers of men. So the amazing thing about Jesus is he doesn't just tell us to do something. He comes and shows us how to do it. Okay, so the first thing is just to say, yes, Lord, and then we must submit to the process of becoming able, being taught. So as I stand here this morning, I'm not saying God is saying you have to make a lot of disciples, but we need to grow in fruitfulness. God wants us to grow from a place of not making disciples to starting to make disciples to making lots of disciples. Like a fruit tree grows from a place of having one fruit to a place of having lots of fruit. And it's going to get exciting as I go on, because I'm going to share with us a bit of the process, how God allows us to become fruitful. But when I think of this process of discipleship, it's like any process in life, really. Remember when I started cycling, I was like 22, and I wanted to do an August. I felt like I want to do an August, so bought a bicycle in August, started training for it. And I remember that week before the August, it's this big cycle race in Cape Town, 35,000 people do it. I was just like freaked out. This is this race of 35,000 people. Never done a big race like that. Remember the night before, I didn't even sleep. It's like I was so sick. I got to the race like 2 hours before the time, just made sure I'm in the right place. And I almost crashed twice in the race because I was so nervous. That was the first time. But then subsequently, I did it August, I think like 8 or 9 times. And I remember the 9th race I did in a tandem with my wife. And we just pitched like half an hour before the time. We kind of just did it, walk in the park kind of thing. And it's like, because we did it 9 times. But the 9th time, all that fear factor has dissipated because you've grown in confidence in doing it. And I think discipleship is a bit like that. We have to step out in faith. You need to, in a sense, master your fears. And there are a few tools to master those fears. Obviously, looking at how Jesus did it. But there's also people around us that do discipling. There are people around us that do it maybe better than us, that we can learn from. We've got a thing called accountability groups in church. where some of us are just spending time with people in the week. This is one way of discipling. There's lots of ways you can disciple people. Just by teaching somebody to drive a car is, in a sense, a way of discipling somebody. It's teaching them skill. That's also discipleship. And that's what the church is, so makes it such a beautiful place. So as we spend time with one another, as we submit to one another, we learn skills, we learn how it goes, we conquer our fears, and we get better at that. And you know, Scripture says the Father gets glory when we become fruitful. That gives the Father direct glory. So that's something that should be close to our hearts. It should be something that gives us joy when we make disciples. Okay, so that is the one thing, the one element of becoming fruitful. Second one that I just got here, and I think there's probably more, but I think these are two kind of pillars of fruitfulness. The other one is just becoming a new person. Galatians 5, verse 22, verse 24. Speaks here of the fruit of the Spirit. And abiding in Christ is really being led by the Spirit. So that speaks here about being led by the Spirit and having the fruit of being led to become like Jesus. It says, by the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to this cross and crucified them there. So there is, it speaks of moral transformation, the things we do. But it also speaks more about moral transformation. It speaks of heart transformation. It speaks of becoming. So instead of trying to be morally right, it's just becoming a morally upright person. It speaks really of a place of a transformation of heart. As we yield to Christ, as we yield to His pattern, we can try and be morally upright, and we can pursue that, which is good. God says we must pursue righteousness. We must be against. We must guard against sin. We must be vigilant against sin and against the devil. But it's more than that. It's also a place of growing, as we're beholding Christ. It's growing in the Spirit. It's where we transformed into a person that doesn't just practice kindness, but is actually kind by nature. Doesn't just practice peace, but we actually can possess a peace when Christ's nature is formed in us. It's like, you don't want to walk into a room and try and be nice and kind. It's actually a place where God is going to enable us to be nice and kind. Like when Flippy, when you spend time with him, you just know God's love because it just happens. Because there's just a kindness and a love that's just in his life. And it's something, it's a fruit that God has placed there. So God is calling us to be fruitful and multiplying and to be fruitful and becoming like Christ in our character and in our whole nature. And you might be asking, what then of the supernatural? What about the gifts? And I would say the gifts is a fruit of love. The gifts is a fruit of the fruits. If you see of Christ, every time he healed people, it was as a result of compassion or because of love. Every time he drove out the demon, it's because he had compassion on the people. So yes, there is also the fruit of the supernatural, but I believe that's also just a fruit of the Spirit indirectly. If you possess true love, then God can manifest and power through that love. Are you guys still with me? Are you being challenged this morning? I'm challenging myself. I'm working this out of my life. I find myself still sometimes just not displaying that fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sitting there and I always have this tension. I feel like really guilty and condemned. Or I'm saying, Jesus, how do you look at this? And often I find myself, God pulling me out of that pit and say, get yourself out of this hole and come and spend time with me. Because you're not going to fix yourself through feeling guilty. You're going to fix yourself by coming into my presence and allowing me to come and change you. Okay. Galatians 5, 16 to 7 says, the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of that which the sinful nature desires. How's that for powerful scripture? If we still have got sinful desires in our lives, then God says, by the Spirit, He can enable us to walk contrary to that sinful desires. We can have desires that are according to his heart and his desires. So let's quickly look at some basic principles on abiding in Christ, of bearing fruit. So there's some pillars of just bearing fruit that I'm also going to share with us. The first one is just abiding in Christ. And all of them comes out of John 15. But let's quickly read them. It says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So the question we have to ask us, if I don't bear fruit, then I'm probably not abiding. And abiding, what God has been saying to me is, it's not knowing about Jesus, it's about being intimate with Jesus. It's like knowing your wife or getting to know your wife. It's knowing things about your wife or being intimate with your wife, that kind of analogy. It's like a friend of mine says, a marriage that's not between a man and a wife cannot be fruitful. Why? Because they cannot produce children. It's impossible for them to produce children because a man and a man cannot, or a woman and a woman cannot produce fruit. And it's the same with us in Christ. It's a place where we can have a relationship with God which is not intimate, and then it's a place which is intimacy. And out of that place, out of that invitation, the fruit flows. So every time I find myself in a bad place, find myself drifting, I have to ask myself, have I really connected with God? Do I really meet with God in my inner room? Do I really share my intimate times with him? Do I study scripture in such a way, not just to know of God, but to know God? To say, Jesus, show yourself to me when I read the scripture. Show yourself to me. Show your love to me. Show me who you are. Show me how you acted. Show me how you had compassion on people. So often it means becoming serious about my devotional times with God. It means like when I read scripture, Psalm 1 speaks about the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Go read Psalm 1. It says the righteous meditate on God's word day and night. And meditation, if you want to make it simple, is something that's about is having a relationship. It's saying, God, I see this of you, but I want this of you in my life. I see this reflection of you in scripture, but I want it for myself. I want it to become real. Make it real to me. Come and expose yourself to me. Come and by your spirit reveal. Make the scripture flesh. Come and make Christ flesh in my life as I read scripture. So reading scripture with the intention to get a deeper meaning out of it. To meet with Jesus. Not to know about Jesus. And secondary to that, when I pray, do I pray to hear his voice? By the way, that's something I struggle to do. I like to pray a lot for stuff. I can come up with a whole list of things, and I think sometimes I can pray quite well. But I'm a bit of a performer. So I struggle to just sit at God's feet and hear his voice. Speak to me what he has got to say. And part of that abiding in Christ is this abiding in his word. It's his written word, but also his spoken word. Are we allowing him to speak? Are we sitting at his feet till he speaks? Do we have time? Do we make time? Is it important to us? And seeing that's where the world success issue, and it's for all of us, it's a challenge. I've got my job to go and do. I've got this routine I have to go through today. I've got so much obligations. I need to be so busy. And saying, I need to be successful. I need to do these things. And God says, stop. I don't need you to be successful. I want you to be fruitful. And that is our challenge. Are we being fruitful? Are we yielding to the call to be fruitful? And you know, when God calls us to be fruitful, I believe he wants to make us successful in all those other things as well. He wants to give us the shortcuts. He wants to redeem the time. He wants to make us very effective. I know when I've really met with God, then I normally have more energy than before. I normally can do much more things. I can sleep less even when I meet with God. But if I haven't, it's difficult. And you know, there will always be a battle to connect with God. Because the devil, there's one thing, he knows if he can attack this place, If he can get you out of intimacy with God, then you won't bear proper fruit. That is his challenge. He doesn't have to do the other things. He's not so interested in other things. If he can just get you busy, distracted, out of that time of God, then he can have his way. Are you guys with me? This is a good challenge to fight for that intimacy. That's probably the biggest fight I have to fight every day. This is a fight to connect with God. Other fights are easy fights. This is sometimes a difficult one. Okay. So the Father is calling us. He says, come to me. You cannot be fruitful out of me. Scripture says, outside of God, we can do no good. There's no good thing we can do outside of abiding in Him. Okay. Abiding in love. John 15 verse 9 to 13. So to be fruitful, abide in Christ. And then secondly, abide in love. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. In the beginning I said the fruit. So this is what we need to do to have fruit. Well, one of the fruits is the character change. The second one is just having disciples. And you know what? To make disciples, you need to love a lot. Jesus walked with 12 guys that were really difficult to walk with. 12 guys that were really kind of, they were fishermen, they were kind of rough guys. And they were, if you read how Jesus had to deal with them, sometimes they just were stubborn and a lot of things. They were competing with each other, etc. So Jesus had to extend a lot of love to keep on discipling them. And that's the same abiding that Jesus is talking about here. That abiding in love. Last year we did a sermon series and I asked the question, how do you define love? Because also that, once again, coming back to the norms of our world, the world defines love in one way. How does Scripture define love? And it really comes down to the cross. Jesus dying for his friends. Scripture says here, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us. And that is kind of the basic definition of love, a sacrifice, sacrificial love. So to abide in Christ and bear fruit, we have to abide in that sacrificial love. And then what is that going to mean in practice? It's going to mean we pursue loving one another. Scripture says the world will know us for the love we have for one another. And that word know is a place where they will not just see, there will be something instinctive in their hearts. They will recognize this love as something that's not normal. And you know, there's something we can have an inspirational talk on a Sunday and we can draw crowds, but it's not necessarily going to make the world know God's love. But when we sit together and we do life together, and we work together as Christians, and there is love. We forgive each other on a daily basis. We work things out. We pursue one another. This week I was frustrated with a friend of mine that I felt like he was quite abusive. And I was like, say Lord, I'm not going to spend time with this guy again. I'm not going to call him again. Because he really just takes me, he just abuses my time. And then I read this scripture. Which one is that? John 2 verse 10. He says, but anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by darkness. How's that for a stern warning? So I had to go on my knees and say, God, I forgive my brother. I'm not necessarily going to allow him to hurt me all the time, but I will have to just walk on and I have to forgive him. God calls us into sacrificial love. That is the love he's called us to. So we need to abide in that love. It's not the